for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitten Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dejon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. We are back with another episode of Mid Madness here on 95.3 WBCK. I am your host, Dejon Hughes, and I'm about to spend an hour talking to you about everything going down inside of our lovely state of Michigan in reference to the sports world. Now, there's tons to dive into, as we know, recording this on a Friday afternoon. The Tigers have not played yet. They're in the midst of a five-game ALDS series, hoping that they're able to win this, go on to the ALCS, and have a chance to raise an American League pennant. The Lions, what a season they've had so far. It started off a little bumpy, but man, is there a road that they are traveling now. And of course, we'll get more gridiron work with Michigan State and Michigan, how the Spartans and Wolverines look respectively on their football fields, what's to come for them over the next couple of weeks, and maybe the playoff picture is going to start spelling itself out pretty soon here. But of course, before we do any of that, I'm having a fantastic week. The week went by quicker than I thought. High school football was great last night. One of the longest standing rivalries in the entire country, not just the state of Michigan, the entire United States, between Kalamazoo Central and Battle Creek Central. What a game that was. And then obviously we're gearing up for what is going to be a fantastic weekend. The Red Wings opened up play, so we're going to be talking about them pretty soon. The Pistons are going to get rolling again here in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, I have Michigan that I'm concerned with this weekend. And, of course, the Green Bay Packers play as well. So there's a chance that I suffer four straight days of defeat and will definitely be emotionally and physically unavailable. I am also going to a Halloween party this weekend, so that should be a lot of fun. So I hope that your weekend is just as fun as mine, as it will be sports-filled. Now that we've gotten through the obligatory welcome and shakedown of the weekend, it's time to talk about the Detroit Lions. As we know, the Detroit Lions opened up the season on the road at Lambeau Field against my beloved Green Bay Packers. Ended up losing by 14, 27-13. And since then, the Lions have been on an absolute tear. There doesn't seem to be a caliber of team that can handle the Detroit Lions right now. I mean, the very next week they played the Bears and throttled them 52-21, giving them a 31-point loss on the year early, showing that, hey, just because we lost our coordinators doesn't mean that this is a different Detroit Lions team. We can still put up points with the best. We can still make stops when we need to, and we can still win football games. And then they bounce back the next week and beat a Ravens team that was coming off of a tough loss to the Bills by one, and they had a chance to really reverse their season around. And then the Lions went out and beat the Ravens too, 38-30. I mean, hey, the Lions beat the Ravens, who – last year, the Ravens absolutely gave the Lions the business. I mean, the Ravens ran all over the Lions. Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, J.K. Dobbins, Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers. Anybody who touched the ball last year in a Ravens jersey that went against the Lions made it look like it was cakewalk. They literally just walked into the end zone. Not the case this year. Lions pull out a tough 8-point victory in that game before the very next week welcoming the Browns into town, into Ford Field, and kicking them right back out of it. Hey, I know you got a great defensive line. I know you gave the Packers a problem. I know that you are trying to put a lot together with your offense and just make things work, but that kind of show ain't going to run here. Not at Ford Field, not against the Detroit Lions. 34-10, 24-point shellacking of the Browns by the Detroit Lions made it look extremely easy. And then last week they went on the road to take on the Bengals, and of course no problems there as they took on the Bengals as well. That was a game that they were able to handle with no problems whatsoever. They won 37-24. Looking at the scoring plays, Sam Laporta got things started with a 10-yard touchdown pass. Brock Wright got in on the action with a 3-yard touchdown pass. Evan McPherson, a 50-yard field goal, gets the Bengals on the board. The score at halftime, 14-3. And then the third and fourth quarters really blossomed this game open. Jahmyr Gibbs gets a 20-yard touchdown reception from Jared Goff. David Montgomery gets in on the action with an 8-yard touchdown run. Jamar Chase, back-to-back touchdown passes from Jake Browning, 15 yards on the first and 64 yards on the second, both of those to start the fourth quarter. Isaac Tassala gets a 12-yard touchdown reception from Jared Goff, his second on the year already. T. Higgins gets a 2-yard touchdown pass from Jake Browning, and then Derek Barnes grabs a safety to push the lead out to 13, and the Lions win 37-24. They covered the spread, the over-under hit, and, of course, the Lions hit on the money line. Looking at the leaders for the game, Jared Goff goes 19 of 23 for 258 passing yards and 3 tutties, 18 carries for 65 yards and a touchdown for David Montgomery, 8 receptions for 100 yards for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Derek Barnes had 1 sack, and Jack Campbell, 11 tackles, 3 of them solo. On the Bengals side, Browning goes 26 of 40, 3 tutties, 3 interceptions for 251 yards. He also had 4 carries for 31 yards to lead the team in the rushing department. 110 receiving yards on 6 receptions and 2 touchdowns for Jamar Chase. Trey Hendrickson had 2 sacks. And Logan Wilson had 8 tackles, 3 of them being solo. 365 total yards for the Lions. Only 1 turnover, 23 first downs. They went 8 penalties for 56 yards. 2 for 8 on third down, did not go for any fourth downs, but were a whopping 5-4-6 in the red zone. And that is how you win a game at Paycor Stadium. That is how you win a game in the NFL, regardless of whether you're home or on the road. And that is how the Lions are going to continue to have success in the season, is that they can go out and play teams like they did the Bengals. Now, granted, they had tons of help playing the Bengals. The main thing being they did not have to play Joe Burrow. They were going against Jake Browning. They also have other injuries on this team that are limiting how successful the Bengals can truly be. But a win is a win, a 13-point win, especially one that bumps you to 4-1, especially one that gets you to 2-1 on the road, especially the one that has you on a 4-game winning streak before you go into one of your most pivotal games of the year. Well, what some would think would be one of your most pivotal games of the year. But looking at the way that the season has shaped out so far, the Kansas City Chiefs are not the same Kansas City Chiefs we're used to. They're 2-3 on the year. They open up the season with a 6-point loss to the Chargers, a 3-point loss to the Eagles before beating the Giants and Ravens in back-to-back games, and then losing a game to the Jaguars by 3 points. They're 2-3 headed into this week 6 game, or week 7, whatever week it is, with the Detroit Lions. And granted, we don't know the last time we saw the Chiefs at 2-3. We don't know the last time we saw the Chiefs miss the Super Bowl. We know the last time we saw the Chiefs struggle this much to start a season with seemingly no losses coming in the offseason. But it has happened. And now they're shaping up to play one of the hottest teams in the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs have to welcome in the Detroit Lions to Gayha Field at Arrowhead Stadium. They're 2-3 on the year. They're 1-1 at home. And as we mentioned, those Lions are 4-1, and they're 2-1 on the road. The matchup predictor from ESPN gives the Lions a 45.2% chance to go into Arrowhead Stadium and leave with a victory. Meanwhile, 54.4% for Kansas City to come out on top. And then, of course, the remaining percent is in that chance of an unlikely tie. This is an 8:20 p.m. start on the 12th, which is tomorrow. You know what that means. It's Sunday Night Football, and you know where this game will be played, right here on WBCK. The over-under is at 52.5. The Chiefs currently sit at a 2.5-point favorite, and they are negative 135 on the money line. But as you know, those Lions are sitting at 115. A plus 115. So there's not much discrepancy in this game. They do believe the Lions have a legitimate chance to win. Looking at the stats for these Chiefs, Mahomes, 116 of 183 for 1,257 passing yards, 8 tutties, 2 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes also leads the team in rushing. 28 carries for 190 yards and three tutties. Tyquan Thornton is their leading receiver at 272 yards on 13 receptions and three touchdowns. George Karlaftis is leading their team in sacks at 3.5, and Nick Bolton has 46 tackles on the year. Xavier Worthy is questionable with an ankle. Rashee Rice is obviously serving that suspension. Nazee Johnson, Brandon George, and Ethan Driscoll are all on the IR for the Chiefs. Taylor Decker is questionable with a shoulder injury. Brian Branch, questionable with an ankle injury. Kirby Joseph is questionable with a knee injury. Khalif Raymond, questionable with a neck injury. And Avante Maddox, questionable with a hamstring injury for the Detroit Lions. Looking at how this game goes, the toughest thing is that this game is on the road. And the toughest thing is that this game is against the Kansas City Chiefs. As much as they have struggled this year, as much as they haven't quite been themselves, they're still the Kansas City Chiefs. They're still playing at Arrowhead Stadium, and you still have to go against Patrick Mahomes. All of those things right there can make this game so much more difficult than what it really should be. I think that the Lions have everything they need to go in here and be successful. First off, the offense, firing on absolutely all cylinders. Sam Laporta, a top tight end option in the league. Amon-Ra St. Brown, easily a top five receiver right now. You have one of the best 1-2 punches in the backfield with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. You also have Jameson Williams as a deep threat. Khalif Raymond has been great both in the running game and in the passing game. And of course, Jared Goff has been phenomenal back commanding the offense. The defense picking up right where it left off. Aiden Hutchinson getting back in the mix and more. So I think that the Lions are going to be able to put it together. I have them winning against the Chiefs this weekend, but we'll find out Sunday night here on WBCK. We'll be back talking Michigan and Michigan State after the break with more Mid-Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Yeah. Back into Mid-Madness here on 95.3 WBCK. It's time for us to step onto the college football field. Last week, we started everything with the Wolverines in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan. This week, we'll start with those Spartans up in East Lansing at Michigan State University. Michigan State got off to a great start this year. I mean, opened things up 3-0 after taking down Western Michigan. Then they took down Boston College in a crazy overtime game before handling business against Youngstown State. Then they went on the road for two games in a row, and things fell apart. Their first game on the road is USC. 45-31, they ended up dropping this game. And at the time, USC was the 25th ranked team in the country. I had picked Michigan State to win this game. I felt like they had all the momentum on their side, and they were able to go out and handle business, be successful, and really turn the defensive notch up a second. But really, the defense has been the struggling part of this team. I mean, they gave up just 6 points to Michigan or Western Michigan, so it looked like things could be on the better half for them on that side of the field. Then the very next week, they gave up 40 points to Boston College in a win, but then they gave up 24 points to Youngstown State in a win. But those are both troublesome marks when you look at having to go play in the Big Ten and how some of those offenses are constructed, and you have to not give up so many points. Giving up 24 points to Youngstown State or 40 points to Boston College screams that you're going to be giving up points during conference play. And that's exactly what happened. Your first conference game, you let up 45 points to a team that's no longer ranked and to a team that is severely struggling now at this point in the season. And then you gave up 38 points the following week to a Nebraska team that is also kind of trying to figure out exactly what their season is going to look like. They're 1-1 in the conference. They're 4-1 on the year. So there's still some success looming for the Cornhuskers out of Nebraska. Looking back at this game, the score ended up being 38-27. Nebraska opened the game up winning by 14. I mean, Emmett Johnson had a 2-yard touchdown run, and then Carter Nelson had a 3-yard blocked punt return for a touchdown. That ended the first quarter. Second quarter, the Spartans started to get back in it. Jack Velling had a 2-yard touchdown pass from Aselio Milivojevic. Wow, what a name. Aiden Childs then had a 16-yard run for himself. Aiden Childs also had a 4-yard run to follow, putting Michigan up 21-17 halfway through the third quarter, or almost through the third quarter. Then Emmett Johnson responds for the Cornhuskers with a 23-yard touchdown run to tie things up at 21. And then the fourth quarter happened. Kyle Cunningham had a 27-yard field goal. Nazaiah Hunter has a 59-yard touchdown pass from Dylan Raiola. And then Emmett Johnson finishes things off for the Cornhuskers, who scored. Wow. They scored 24 straight points before the Spartans were able to score again, as Alessio Bilavocic had a 1-yard touchdown run. They could not convert on the 2-yard or the 2-point conversion. So therefore, Michigan State loses this game by 9 at Memorial Stadium. Looking at some of the other stats for the day, Nebraska outgained the Spartans 282-242. The Spartans turned it over 3 times, while the Cornhuskers just won. 17 first downs for Michigan State, 15 for Nebraska. They're just about even in penalties, 5-45 for Michigan State, 6-44 for Nebraska. Michigan State was 2-14 on third downs. Nebraska only slightly better at 5-13. Michigan State went 4-5 on fourth down, though. 80% on fourth down, insane. Nebraska goes 0-2 on fourth down. Michigan State held the ball for just over 33 minutes. So they had the possession, they had the time, they had some success. They just couldn't put it all together. The game leaders, Aiden Childs, 2 interceptions on 9-23 passing and 85 passing yards. He did have 2 touchdowns on the ground, but their leading rusher was Mekhi Frazier at 18 carries for 58 yards. Nick Marsh goes 4 receptions for 41 yards. Darius Snow had a sack, and Jordan Hall, 8 tackles, 5 of them solo. Meanwhile, Nebraska getting back into the win column after dropping their previous game to Michigan State rivals, the Michigan Wolverines. Dylan Raiola, a much better game, goes 16-24, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, and 194 passing yards. Emmett Johnson, player of the game for sure, 83 rushing yards on 13 carries and 3 tutties. Nazaiah Hunter, 93 receiving yards on 4 receptions and a touchdown. Williams Narari goes for 1.5 sacks, and Javen Wright had 10 tackles, 4 of them being solo. The spread hit for the Spartans. They did cover that 12.5 favorite, over under a 49.5 hits, and Nebraska cashes in on that money line. Looking at what's coming up for the Spartans this week, they're going to be taking on UCLA pretty much as soon as we're done with this game at noon. That's going to be on BTN, Fox Sports, wherever you decide to watch your games. 23.5% chance for UCLA to win this game, who's coming off a huge win against Penn State, 42-37. They're led by Nico Iamaliva, who's both doing things for them on the ground and in the passing game. 954 passing yards, 332 rushing yards, 10 total touchdowns, and just 3 interceptions. Kwasi Gilmer leads them receiving. Anthony Jones has 1.5 sacks, and John Vaughns has 54 tackles. We know what's happening with Michigan State. This is a game at Spartan Stadium, as Michigan State is a 7.5-point favorite. -280 on the money line, +230 for the UCLA Bruins. 54.5 sits on the over-under. I think that this game will go exactly how we're expecting. Michigan State's offense does look better than UCLA, but maybe UCLA has some momentum running after they were able to get things rolling in that win against Penn State last weekend. Road games are always tough in the Big Ten. I'm going to take the Sparty to come out on top of this one. Last time I took them in a Big Ten matchup, it did not turn out well, but we'll see what happens this week. Now it's time for us to talk about their bitter rivals over in Ann Arbor. They're taking on a team that Michigan State has already taken on this year. They will be playing against the Trojans of USC. We'll be paying them a visit over in Memorial Stadium in Los Angeles. Last week, Michigan took care of business against Wisconsin. They won the game 24-10. Wisconsin opened things up and looked like they were going to have a day. They walked right down the field, 12 plays, 75 yards, and chunked over 6 minutes in time for Dylan Jones to have a 5-yard touchdown run. Then Justice Haynes popped back, 5 plays, 75 yards, just 2 minutes and 8 seconds as he gets a 1-yard touchdown run. Zavada pops back at the beginning of the second to get a 40-yard field goal to put Michigan up 3. Donovan McCulley then gets a 29-yard touchdown pass from Bryce Underwood to put Michigan up 10 in the third quarter. Then Justice Haynes cashes in again with a 1-yard touchdown run. That's 24 straight points from the Michigan Wolverines before the Badgers were able to get a field goal from Nathaniel Vakos to get them up to 10. 24-10, the final score. Michigan outgained the Badgers 445-252. No turnovers for the Wolverines, 1 for Wisconsin, 19 first downs for Michigan, 13 for Wisconsin, 1 penalty for Michigan for just 10 yards, 5 for Wisconsin on 35 yards, 5 for 12 on third down for Michigan, 4 for 14 on third down for Wisconsin, 1 for 1 on fourth down. Are the Badgers. The Wolverines went 0 for 1, and they had possession for about the same amount of time. Wisconsin cashes in on that 17.5 point spread. 42.5 over under hits, and the negative 1,000 money line for Michigan cashes in. Bryce Underwood goes 19 of 28 for 270 yards and a touchdown. Justice Haynes continues to have a Heisman-like season. 19 carries, 117 yards, 2 TDs. Donovan McCulley, 6 receptions, 112 yards, and 1 touchdown. Derek Moore had a sack, and Jimmy Rolder had 7 tackles for 5 of them being solo. Hunter Simmons, 177 passing yards, 18 of 29, and 1 interception. Dylan Jones had the 1 touchdown for them on 17 carries and 63 yards. Anthony II, 97 receiving yards on 9 receptions. Javari Suggs had 1 sack, and Christian Allegrio had 9 tackles, 4 of them being solo. So Michigan adds to their total. They're 4-1 on the year, 2-0 in the Big Ten. 2-3 are the Wisconsin Badgers, 0-2 in the Big Ten. They're going to look to get their season back on track in their next game. Meanwhile, Michigan looking to continue their success as they will take on USC in their next game. They will travel to take on the Trojans at the Memorial Coliseum in Los Angeles. USC is 4-1 on the year. They're 2-1 in the Big Ten already. This is a 7:30 p.m. kickoff, NBC, Peacock, and of course, right here on WBCK. USC has a 68.3% chance to win this game, a 31.7% chance for Michigan. I'm guessing most of that is because this is on the road. USC is 2.5-point favorites, a negative 130 on the money line, but Michigan's just a plus 110. 56.5 sits on the over-under. We've talked extensively about both of these teams over the last couple of weeks, so we know they're leaders everywhere. We know what the success looks like. USC coming off a loss to Illinois, 34-32. That was their first loss of the year and their first loss in the Big Ten. Michigan did have their first loss a couple of weeks ago against Oklahoma. To me, a much tougher opponent to lose to than Illinois, but Michigan hasn't had the grace of playing Illinois yet this year, so not 100% sure. But after coming off of 3 straight wins, I can imagine that Michigan will be looking to keep that momentum rolling as they get into a 4th win, hoping for another 100-yard game on the ground for Justice Haynes, hoping Bryce Underwood continues to step into who he is and connecting with Donovan McCulley and other receivers. But only time will tell, as I will not divulge my pick for this until later in the show when we get into our picks. We're going to get ready to talk Tigers when we come back from the break with more Mid-Madness on 95.3 WBC.
Detroit sports fans, Wolverines and Spartans alike, this is your sports show, Mitten Madness, with Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes on 95.3 WBCK.
Welcome back into Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK. It's time for us to talk about the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers are still playing playoff baseball. As we know, last week they were coming off of their 3-round American League Wild Card Series against the Guardians, which they were able to squeeze out 2-1. And now, even though you're hearing this Saturday morning, a recorded Friday, they're in the midst of an ALDS run. And as you know, it came down to Game 5 last night. You know the result of that. I do not. The Tigers were able to win Game 1 3-2, which was a huge steal on the road, because then they came and they lost Games 2 and 3, 3-2, 8-4. One of those on the road, one of those at Comerica, before bouncing back and winning Game 4 9-3. This series has been one that has been up and down. The series has been one that has had Tigers fans just white-knuckling the entire time, worried about what could and couldn't happen for this team. And now they're on the brink of making an AL championship series, an ALCS, which would be phenomenal, a seven-game series where the Tigers have a chance to be the best team in the American League and go on to represent the American League in the World Series, where they will have an opportunity to be the best team in baseball, which for many parts of this season, the Tigers were the best team in baseball. Now it's time for them to prove it. I mean, beating the Mariners, who swept them once this year, and the Tigers were able to beat 2-1 in the other series, would be huge. Huge when you think about what's going on in the rest of the MLB. Actually, we'll take a quick look at the playoff bracket as a whole. Thursday night brought us tons of happenings in the MLB. The Blue Jays took down the Yankees 5-2 in Game 4 of that series. They win that series 3-1, so they're awaiting the winner of this Tigers and Mariners series in the AL Championship Series for a chance at that World Series spot. The Dodgers took down the Phillies 2-1, so the Dodgers won that series 3-1, and they're awaiting the winner of the Cubs and Brewers series, which is also tied at 2-2. And that final game will be later today, 8:08 p.m. TBS and True TV, for those who would like to know what's happening in the NL. I mean, hey, it's down to the nitty-gritty. There's going to be four teams left after this weekend. And I mean, things are getting started in the ALCS as early as Sunday, 8:03 p.m. That game is going to be in Toronto, as the Blue Jays will be the host, regardless of if the Tigers or the Mariners win. Now I want to see if we're able to get some playoff stats here for, yes. Okay, so we have the 2025 postseason stats. Our batting average leader, Javier Baez, is hitting a .346 in the playoffs right now. Yes, you heard that, a .346. Javi Baez has been unbelievable in the postseason so far. He also leads the team with one home run. He leads the team with nine hits, and he leads the team with an OBP of .370. And then Torkelson leads the team in RBIs with six. Torres right behind Baez with eight hits. Riley Green has seven. Kerry Carpenter, five. Torkelson has six as well. Everybody has been getting in on the run action except for Colt Keith, Andy Ibanez, and Justin Henry Molloy. When you look at the pitching, I mean, we know what to expect in the pitching. Skubal is leading the category in wins with one. He's leading the category in ERA with 1.84. He leads with 23 strikeouts in these playoffs already. Will Vess is leading the team with saves, and obviously no one has a hold yet on this team. Skubal leads the team in innings pitched as well at 14.2. Flaherty right behind him at 8. Troy Melton comes in third with 7.1 innings pitched already. Fielding is fielding. Essentially, this team is on the brink of doing something very special, and it all comes down to what happened as you're listening to this last night, as I'm recording this later tonight against the Mariners. And I mean, I'm going to take a look at how this game is expected to turn out, as we always do when we're looking at a new game. It was a 8 p.m. first pitch on Fox last night. They gave the Tigers a 55.5% chance to win, even though they're on the road, a 44.5% chance for the Mariners. Skubal is going to be on the mound against Kirby. Skubal was, he's 1-0 so far in this postseason. Kirby hasn't touched the mound yet. 3.60 ERA, 1.4 on the whip, 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk, 1 home run in his only postseason appearance so far. I really don't know much to say about this game that's going to be out at T-Mobile Park. I think the Tigers have had a phenomenal season. I think that they've looked absolutely spectacular every step of the way. And there's been no reason to really question the Tigers other than the ending of the regular season, which we saw them lose that AL Central pennant to the Cleveland Guardians. So honestly, I'm not going to talk too much. The Tigers are going to be -125 on the money line, 5.5 for the over under in this game. And there's a -1.5 RL for this game as well. Schoolboy's going on the mound. That's all you can really ask for in a game like this, is that he's going to go out and be successful. You just hope that the bats were hitting last night. They were hitting in game 4. 9 runs in a postseason game. Huge. Something the Tigers haven't done in quite some time. So for them to get that two nights ago was huge. Huge. But the question of the matter is, are they going to get it again when they need it most in game 5? It's an uphill battle for the Tigers, and there's not a ton to be said. But what I can say is, even if the Tigers end up losing this game, they made it to the American League Divisional Series, and they have a chance to get back to this place again next year and a chance to be successful in another season, as they should be returning a lot of people, and Tarik Skubal at the top of that list. I am going to get ready to talk about our picks after we get back from the break with more Mid-Madness on 95.3
Age of Learning.
90.3 WBCK.
Welcome back into Mid-Madness on 95.3 WBCK. It's time for the picks, one of my favorite parts of the show. Now, you can get in on the picks anytime you would like using the chat feature in the WBCK app. Head on over there, submit your picks, the ones that you choose based off the games that I pick here, and see how well you do and see if you're any better than I am. And I know y'all are always sitting at home, why would he pick them? Why would he do that? Look at these stats. Look at this. And you think you can do better than me? Prove that you can do better than me by, I don't know, submitting your picks in the WBCK app. I don't know about you, but if you were playing along last week, then maybe you had the same kind of week as I had. It's going to be tough to do better than what I did this week. You would have had to have been perfect because I was 5-1. I took Bama to beat Vandy. No problems there. Miami took care of Florida State. No problems there. The Bucks just squeezed past the Seahawks. I mean, just squeezed past the Seahawks. So that gave me a W there. The Aces absolutely smacked the Mercury around in game 2. So no concerns there. My one loss, Michigan State and Nebraska. Hello, Michigan State. Get it together, Sparty. You had every opportunity to win that game. You even scored 21 straight points and were winning at a moment in this game before squandering it all the way in the fourth quarter. I want to be fans of you, Michigan State, but you keep proving why I'm a Michigan fan and why I just need to focus on my Wolverines. And then Texas Tech handled business against Houston. That gave me 5-1 for the week. That gets me up to 26-16 on the season. Once again, you can compare your scores to mine, see how good you are, and see if you're able to win a title against me using the chat feature in the WBCK app. Listen for the games, write down your picks, submit them in the app, and we'll keep track of how well guys and girls are picking games against myself. So with that being said, it's time for us to get into our picks for this week. This week we've got 4 different big time college football games to dive into and take picks for. We have 1 big time NFL game against 2 teams that have the exact same record. One is going to be far better off than the other, but one is going to take that loss and still be in a great space. And then we're dipping back into the octagon. We're going to see who has the hands for the fights, who has the kicks, the feats, and the grappling, as the UFC has a fight night match between two individuals that have been near the top of their division over the last couple of years. Now it's time, and you know where we're starting, right on the gridiron. We're going to dip down into the SEC to get things rolling. The eighth-ranked Crimson Tide, who are 4-1 and 2-0 in the SEC, are back in the pick section this week. They have a noon game on ABC against the Missouri Tigers, who are 14th ranked in the country. They're 5-0 in on the year, and they're 1-0 in the SEC. This game will be at Memorial Stadium in Columbia, Missouri. Missouri gets a 36.6% chance to win this game. Alabama, a 63.4% chance to win. Crimson Tide come in at 2.5-point favorites. 51.5 sits on the over-under. And Bama is just a negative 150 on the money line. Meanwhile, Mizzou, the Tigers, are a plus 130. Bo Prabula for the Tigers is 110 for 145, 9 tutties, 3 interceptions, and 1,203 yards. Ahmad Hardy, 103 carries for 730 yards, 9 tutties. Kevin Coleman Jr., 386 receiving yards on 39 receptions, 1 touchdown. Damon Wilson, the second, is 3.5 sacks, and Josiah Trotter has 28 tackles. Bama on the other side. Ty Simpson, 111 for 158, 1 interception, 13 touchdowns for 1,478 passing yards. Jam Miller, 182 rushing yards on 38 carries and a touchdown. Jeremy Bernard, 392 receiving yards on 25 receptions and 5 touchdowns. Edric Hill has 1.5 sacks. And Justin Jefferson, not Justin Jefferson from the Minnesota Vikings, a linebacker this time, has 29 tackles to lead the Crimson Tide. As we know, Crimson Tide are 4-1. They dropped that first game to Florida State on the road in Tallahassee, 31-17, and since then have been unstoppable. Their closest game was a 3-point victory over Georgia, 24-21, and that was on the road at Georgia. And then the Mizzou Tigers, on the other hand, they're a perfect 5-0. They started 61-6 over Central Arkansas, took down Kansas 42-31, took down Louisiana 52-10, beat South Carolina and Lenore Sellers 29-20, and then UMass was no match for the Tigers at all as they won 42-6. As well as the Tigers have been playing, I'm not seeing anyone on this list except maybe South Carolina that is near the caliber of Alabama. And I mean, it was a close game, so that means that there could be some struggles for the Tigers. But in the same token, the Crimson Tide have struggled this year, but 4 in a row for the Tide, and especially a win over Bama, Wisconsin, and Vandy in that stretch gives me a little more hope for, or a little more trust in Bama than it does in Mizzou. So I'm going to take Bama to win this game. Going into our second game of the week, we're now in the Big Ten, and we'll be in the Big Ten for the rest of the college football matchups. The number one ranked Ohio State Buckeyes, who are 5-0 and 2-0 in the Big Ten, will take on the Fighting Illini from Illinois, 5-1, 2-1 in the Big Ten. This is the big noon kickoff on Fox tomorrow, or excuse me, later today. Memorial Stadium from Champaign, Illinois. Julian Sayin versus Luke Altmyer. Bo Jackson versus Khalil Valentine. Jeremiah Smith versus Hank Beattie. Curry dominating on the defensive end for the Buckeyes. Gabe Jockus and Miles Scott getting in on the action. Illinois having that disgusting loss to Indiana. And obviously Ohio State remains undefeated. 82.2% chance for the Buckeyes to be successful. A 17.8% chance for Illinois. Ohio State opens as 14.5-point favorites, 50.5 on the over-under, negative 750 for Ohio State, and a plus 475 for the Illini. As much as I would love for the Illini to upset, I'm not going to pick that, but if it happens, you know I'll be jumping up and down. I think the Buckeyes will continue their success, move to 3-0 in the Big Ten, move to 6-0 on the year, and continue to be the number one team in the country until they run into someone that's actually going to give them a game this year. The closest they got was Texas, and Texas wasn't even that good. Washington was okay at 24-6, but we need some more competition headed to the Buckeyes. That next game is going to be Indiana at Oregon. Indiana, the 7th-ranked Hoosiers, are 5-0. They're 2-0 in the Big Ten. The Oregon Ducks, they're 3-0, or excuse me, 5-0, 2-0 in the Big Ten. They're 3rd-ranked in the country. This is a 3:30 p.m. first kickoff on CBS later today at Autzen Stadium in Eugene, Oregon. Oregon has a 67.8% chance to win this game, a 32.2% chance for Kurt Cignetti and the Hoosiers to come out on top. 7.5-point favorites are the Ducks. They're negative 275 on the money line, but plus 225 for those Hoosiers. 53.5 sits on the over-under. Dante Moore, D'Ari Hill Jr., DeCorian Moore, Mateo Uangalele, and Bryce Bodiger will go against Fernando Mendoza, Roman Hemby, Elijah Surratt, Isaiah Jones, Lewis Moore, and the rest of the Hoosiers. The Hoosiers coming in with a 5-point victory over Iowa, obviously destroyed Illinois, took care of Indiana State, Kennesaw State, and Old Dominion as well. Meanwhile, Oregon, Montana State, no problems. Oklahoma State, no problems. Northwestern, no problems. Oregon State, no problems. Penn State, double overtime victory, 30-24. I have no reason to have any concern with Oregon going into this game. So I'm going to take Oregon to beat Indiana, but I do think this game will be a little closer than some other people feel. Indiana will make Oregon feel the pressure, but I think the Hoosiers are not going to come out with a road victory in this one. I have the Ducks staying perfect in Autzen Stadium. Now it's time for the Michigan Wolverines, 15th-ranked team in the country, 4-1, 2-0 in the Big Ten. USC Trojans, 4-1. They're 2-1 in the Big Ten. We talked a ton about this game earlier. This is a 7:30 p.m. kickoff later today. NBC, Peacock, wherever you choose to watch. But also, this game will be here on WBCK. We went through all the happenings earlier. We know what's happening with these two teams. We talked about both of them extensively over the last couple of weeks. You are nuts. I'll say it again. You are crazy. I'll say it one more time. You are insane. I'll say it again. You have completely lost your mind if you think I'm going to be going against the Michigan Wolverines in this game. I know that this game is on the road in Los Angeles, California, at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. I know there's a 68.3% chance for USC to win this game, according to ESPN Analytics Matchup Predictor. I know that the Trojans are 2.5-point favorites. I know they're a negative 130 on the money line. I know that Jaden Maeva has been insane. I know that Mekhi Lemon is his favorite target, and I know that Wayman Jordan is going to pound the ground as much as they can. But you can't tell me that that loss to Oklahoma didn't light a fire under the Michigan Wolverines. There's a reason they've been so successful against that game. And you can't tell me that that loss, that 2-point loss to Illinois, who got throttled by Indiana, is not in the back of the mind of the Trojans as they step into this week. I'm going all out in force for the Michigan Wolverines, and you gotta be crazy to not pick them as well. I think this is a great opportunity for a couple of teams in front of the Wolverines to possibly lose a game, for them to get another big win in the conference, stay undefeated in the Big Ten, but also move up the national rankings, continuing to try and fight their way into that 12-team playoff, which I think is something that we'll see them kind of flourish into over the next couple of weeks. But I am, of course, taking the Michigan Wolverines once again. That gets us over into the NFL for our last gridiron game of the week. The San Francisco 49ers are 4-1. They're 3-0 on the road. We'll take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 4-1. They're 1-1 at home. This is a CBS game, 4:25 on the kickoff tomorrow. 42.2% chance for the 49ers to win, a 57.5% chance for the Bucs to come out on top. And of course, a little percentage lies for the unlikely chance of a tie. 3.5-point favorites are the Buccaneers. 47.5 sits on that over-under. Negative 170 on the money line for the Buccaneers, plus 145 for the 49ers. Do not know who's going to be starting at quarterback for the 49ers as Mac Jones is hurt. And obviously, we know that Brock Purdy is still dealing with some stuff as well. Christian McCaffrey leads the team in both rushing and receiving. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield has been phenomenal to start the year. Bucky Irvin is questionable. Emeka Egbuka is leading them in receiving. Vita Vea, 2 sacks on the year. They have Tyke Smith helping out as well. Ricky Pearsall is still questionable. Jawan Jennings is questionable. Jordan Watkins, questionable. 3 receivers for the 49ers, questionable. Chris Godwin Jr., questionable, but he is expected to play. Levante David, questionable. Zion McCollum and Benjamin Morrison, two cornerbacks, both questionable as well for the Bucs. Bucs have one loss this year to defending Super Bowl champions Philadelphia Eagles, 31-25, and that was a home game. Meanwhile, the one loss for the 49ers, also a home game to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I personally think this game at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa is going to be one of the better games of the weekend, but I got to go with the Bucs to come out on top. Our last pick of the week, Charles Oliveira against Matheus Gamrot. 35-11, Oliveira is 25-3 for Gamrot. 5'10", 155, 35 years old, 74-inch reach, orthodox fighting stance at a 63% significant striking accuracy for Oliveira. Gamrot, 5'10", 156, 34 years old, 70.5 on the reach, southpaw fighting stance, and he cashes in at 59.85% of his significant strikes landing. I'm going to take Oliveira, who's negative 105 on this fight. I like the significant strikes. I like his reach advantage, and I like his fighting overall. This will be in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, his home country, later tonight. ESPN Plus, 4 p.m. prelims, 7 p.m. main card. That gives me Bama, Michigan, Oregon, Ohio State, the Bucs, and Oliveira. We have Michigan taking on USC, 7:30 p.m. later today on WBCK. Then tomorrow for Sunday Night Football, we got Lions and we got Chiefs, 8 p.m. for that Sunday Night Football. And then Monday night, we are going to have the Bears and Commanders playing, 8:15 ABC, but that's going to be here on WBCK as well. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend, because I will be doing the same. And we're going to be back with more Mid-Madness next week on 95.3 WBCK.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.